Human instinct is to hoard things in times of economic stress. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about that. Hi, I'm Rob West. Hoarding is the over-the-top collection of stuff you can't rationally use in a reasonable time. Today, we'll talk about the root causes of this temptation and how to avoid it. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, people hoard at different levels and in some tragic cases to the point of mental illness. That's not the focus of our conversation here. Today, we'll talk about the kind of hoarding that most of us are tempted to do at one time or another, usually in response to circumstances. Hoarding can be triggered by the fear of not having enough. Do you remember what happened with toilet paper and hand sanitizer during the pandemic? Even if there's no shortage, hoarding can happen because of envy, when you want what someone else has. So you stock up on the latest hot product just because everyone else is buying it. The temptation to hoard can also come from a selfish desire for more. Some people even use frugality as an excuse for buying too much of something because it's on sale. If a heart attitude of fear, envy, or greed is causing you to hoard things, you can turn to God's Word for a way out. Take fear, for instance. Fear demonstrates a lack of trust in God's provision. So if you're afraid of not having enough, take another look at Philippians 4:19. My God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's reassuring news. Well, what about envy? Envy focuses on our own desires and destroys our peace. That's why Proverbs 14:30 says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." The cure for envy is contentment. As it says in 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. Then there's the problem of greed. Greed turns possessions into idols. In Luke 12:15, Jesus says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Again, being content with what you already have helps you avoid the temptation to hoard. Another problem with a hoarding mindset is that it cancels out generosity. If you're buying extra stuff for yourself and your family just in case, you're probably not thinking about those in need. You might still be tempted to stock up on stuff when there's so much news about shortages and higher prices. Before you do, here are a few principles to consider. First, God doesn't want you to fear the future. He wants you to trust that He holds the future in His hands and will care for His children. On the other hand, wise preparation is biblical. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. That passage in Proverbs 6:6-8 tells us that it's sensible to prepare in advance in times of plenty to ensure you have food in the future. But there is no need for a frantic, fearful, greedy attitude. Godly planning is a matter of stewardship and should include a plan for generosity. A spirit of hoarding results in spiritual harm, while a spirit of stewardship and generosity results in blessing. Finally, no matter how much or little you have today, the principles are the same. Everything belongs to the Lord. God loves you and has important kingdom work for you to do. So don't let a spirit of hoarding turn you away from His plan. If you're a teenager, God may be pointing you towards college and a career where you can influence others for the kingdom. Put your resources in His hands and follow His call. If you're a mom or dad, God has given you unique opportunities to raise your children to follow the Lord. Teach them to hold their possessions lightly and demonstrate godly financial principles. If you're working, do it with all your heart, as though you're working for the Lord. Trust Him to provide for you and your family. If you're retired or nearing retirement, ask the Lord how He would use you and your resources to advance the kingdom and serve those around you. God wants you to retire to something just as much as you're retiring from something. I hope today's conversation about hoarding has been an encouragement to you as you reject the messages of this world and you lean into God as your ultimate treasure, realizing that you are just a brief sojourner in this world and ultimately your home is in heaven. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It starts today. Many hundreds of young men and women have been preparing for this moment their whole lives, and now they get to represent their countries at the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris. Years of preparation, and most of them will only have this one chance to compete well. The Apostle Paul looked at God's call on his life in the same way. Speaking for the final time with his dear friends in Ephesus, he said, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Paul's singular focus was the cause of Christ. And so by God's grace, let this also be true of your life and mine. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like,
it
is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart. Encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, our approach here around the money conversation is that money issues are ultimately heart issues. You remember Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so really beneath the surface of our financial decisions are our values and our priorities that drive those decisions. So we, of course, like every facet of our lives, want to look to God's Word and understand a biblical worldview, which begins with God owning everything. Our role is that of steward or manager, and money is a tool. In fact, it's a good creation from God. He created it for our enjoyment, for us to provide for ourselves and our families, for us to give generously and meet the needs of others. So we look at money through that lens, maintaining an eternal perspective, recognizing that money and the things that money can buy will never meet our hardwired desire for abundance and fulfillment. That can only be found in God. But money can be a very effective tool to accomplish God's purposes. And we realize you have very practical decisions you make each day around money management. So we want to help you make those decisions in light of biblical wisdom. Before we head to the phones today, in the news, fewer Americans are seeing college as a guarantee for a brighter financial future. At least that's the finding of the new Gallup poll that shows only 36% of adults say they have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence that a college degree will translate into a better life. That number has steadily declined since 2015, when 57% of respondents viewed higher education as positive. Experts say this is leading to lower enrollment rates, and that doesn't bode well for many fields that require at least an undergraduate degree, including healthcare and information technology. The major reasons given for declining positive attitudes about higher education are its ever-increasing costs and subsequent student loan debt. While around 75% of students graduating with a college degree go on to earn more than those with only high school diplomas, that benefit is reduced when student debt is factored in. None of this should be a surprise. It just shows the importance of choosing a major that gives you training and skills that employers want, with a job waiting for you on the other side of that degree, borrowing as little as possible. That comes by way of you working hard in high school. Requires that you spend some time applying for grants and scholarships, perhaps even working while you're on campus, at least a summer job, if not a job during the year. There are ways to pay for college apart from borrowing, but we got to do some work in order to do that. And then it also requires that you ultimately graduate to take full advantage of that degree. Again, borrow as little as possible. Put the work in, and let's make sure if you do borrow, you have a plan to get a job that will allow you to pay back that debt within 10 years. That's just kind of a quick barometer on what you should borrow and where you should limit your borrowing as you're thinking about college. Hopefully that's helpful to you today as we think about entering into the back-to-school season here in just a month or so, and as we had maybe some kids heading off to college for the first time. Let's go to Ruth in Indianapolis. Hi there. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call today. My son has back taxes. Thank you. My son has back taxes he owes and was and is looking for possibilities of obtaining some type of tax relief. He knows he owes the money. He found a company who advertises on a national TV station with a well-known spokesperson, and their advertising stated that they'd have saved over $1 billion in tax dollars for individuals, and close to 72,000 individuals they've helped. The website says they're listed with the Better Business Bureau, which does show them as having a rating of 4.54 in A+, and they're members of the NATP. My son was looking, reached out to them, and was persuaded to sign up. They required that he go into an agreement of making 3 installment payments up front with his credit card, which now they have, as well as also sign a POA for representing him with the IRS. The company at first glance looks good, and the majority of the reviews at first, they show they've got great customer service. However, it appears as we started diving deeper into the reviews, they rarely obtain any tax relief or any assistance with the IRS. My call to you today is, and just seeking guidance, not only for him, but possibly other listeners when dealing with relief and tax situations with the IRS, what is there to do? And then second, do you have any suggestions on what he's gotten himself into, or is it just a very high cost lesson learned?
Yeah, thanks for that, Ruth. It's a great question. I appreciate the thought you put into the way you asked it. Does he have any anything in the agreement that allows him to get out of it if he wants to?
The only way is paying them up front, and that's per each attorney that is on the POA, and it looks like there's close to 7.
Okay. And there is no cancellation that is an option there.
Nope.
Is that right?
Okay. Unfortunately, no. There's no money-back guarantee.
Okay.
Like I said, it was on a national TV with well-respected.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
him being young and a farmer and trying to help get himself a little bit out of debt.
Well, I would probably see it through. I mean, if you had called me before you did it, I'd say, let's go another route. But I'm not saying that these don't ever work. I'm just saying that I haven't had a great experience and have heard from a lot of listeners who haven't had a great experience. But I'm glad to hear you did the homework. And there are, it sounds like, legitimate people that out there that were served well by this company. Bottom line is, you can do this yourself. What I typically recommend is that you work through either a CPA or enrolled agent that has reasonable fees, that has experience representing taxpayers before the IRS, and let them work with you on your behalf rather than a national company making all kinds of claims. And I've got a few godly CPAs that we've worked with over the years that really specialize in this that have done a great job for a lot of folks. But I think given the cost that you've already put into this, I would see it through. As long as you don't see any red flags about, you know, any issues, let's just let them work through their process. Bottom line is, the IRS is willing to work with you. At the very least, they would put him on a payment plan. Hopefully, they would even, you know, do an offer in compromise where perhaps he could pay less than was, you know, originally owed with taxes and, I mean, with fees and interest. So I think at this point, I would stay the course and try to get it paid back. Kudos to him for wanting to get this taken care of and get into a compliant state with the Internal Revenue Service. And I think given how far you've come, I would just see it through. And a good lesson learned that hopefully he can apply to other situations in the future. But hey, let us know how it turns out. And God bless you. We appreciate you calling today. Before we head to the break, this is a great time for me to remind you about the FaithFi app. You know, we built the app so that you would have a money management tool that allowed you to build your budget using the tried and true envelope system, but to do it in a simple, beautiful format. We built it for you so you could stay on budget. We'd love for you to check it out. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can go to our website as well, faithfi.com. You'll find it there. In addition to the money management system, you'll find all of our content, broadcast archives, and the FaithFi community, which is there for you to ask questions and get responses from other stewards on the journey with you. Again, faithfi.com. Just click app. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano for AFA at the Ark, a special trip to Answers in Genesis Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, October 31st through November 2nd. You'll tour the exhibits like you would expect, but that's just the beginning. Deepen your knowledge with presentations from special speakers and a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Head to afa.net/events today and click AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events. Click AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income, and then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Let's dive back in. We'll go down to Indianapolis. Hi, Larry. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
My question is that I just retired about 3 weeks ago, and I have a mortgage balance left on my house of about $26,000, 15-year term, and we've paid extra payments on it, so we potentially have it paid off in the next 3 years, just by continuing to make our regular payments. Or I have money in a Roth IRA that's enough to pay that $26,000 and just, you know, in the mortgage. My interest rate is 2.5% currently. So I'm wondering what I should do: keep my money in my Roth or pay off my house.
Yeah. Is that money invested currently, Larry, in the Roth, in stocks and bonds or something else?
It's in a work. My former employees set it up, and it's invested just in a money market account inside of a Roth 401k.
Got it. All right. And you've just retired, so you obviously have the option to roll that out, correct?
Correct. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my thought is, I mean, first of all, there's the financial side and the non-financial side. So we'll start with the non-financial side. I mean, if you and your wife just feel like you have an absolute conviction, you know, either from the Lord or just, you know, as you've thought about it, you have a conviction to be debt-free, I'd say pay it off and don't look back. You probably won't regret that for a moment, owning your home free and clear. If you're comfortable, though, just continuing to pay this out over the next 3 years, you obviously have a phenomenal rate at, you know, 2.5%. You've accelerated the payoff. I love that you got the 15-year mortgage and not the 30. And you'll be debt-free with still $26,000 or more in a Roth IRA in a couple of years. I kind of like that option better, just purely from a financial standpoint. And so what I would do is I'd roll that Roth 401k out to a Roth IRA, get it invested in a good balanced mutual fund with a mix of stocks and bonds, and just forget about it. Let it just grow over the next, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 years, however long the Lord has you here. And if you need it, you've got something to tap into. The good news is the Roth taxation is really advantageous because there's no taxes on any of the growth that you get in the future. And you've got a little bit of an additional nest egg available to you. And you certainly shouldn't have any problem, you know, offsetting the 2.5% a year if you get it invested. And you don't even have to, you know, offset the 2.5% plus cover the taxes, because there are no taxes inside the Roth IRA. So I think my first choice would be roll that over and just pay out the mortgage as it is. But again, my caveat is if you and or your wife just have a conviction to be debt free, then I would say that trumps the financial side. Does that make sense?
It sure does. And I have a self-directed Roth IRA at Schwab, and that account has only dividend and stocks in it. And that's yielding about 7.5-8% annually. And my additional thought had been, well, just take that money from my employer out of that Roth and roll it right over, like you said, and just keep letting it grow, you know.
Absolutely. I love that idea. I think that makes complete sense. So that would be the direction I would advocate for sure.
Okay. Well, thanks for confirming that. That's much appreciated, and always appreciate your show.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate you. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. God bless you. Let's go out to Las Cruces, New Mexico. Hi, Mary. How can I help?
Thank you for taking my call. We have big problems. My daughter was in the hospital and had surgeries. The hospital was pressuring her to pay, so she paid it off with her credit card. Then she lost her job, and I think part of the problem is that she's bipolar. Well, last week we got a summons for her to appear in court. The bank is, the credit card is taking her to court.
Yeah.
And we don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear about this. You know, your daughter does need to appear in court for the hearing. I'm not an attorney, so you could certainly seek legal counsel, and that would be never a bad idea. But at the very least, she needs to show up in court. She needs to be prepared to show her financial situation in writing to the court. And then she would want to ask to be put on a payment plan. And she should be able to show just how much she can afford in a monthly payment. Does she have the ability, if she was on a payment plan, to do something every month toward paying this off?
I think so, but I'm not real sure because she keeps to herself, so we don't know exactly what all she's doing.
Yeah, you know? No, I understand. Well, I would just advise her that she needs to show up. If she fails to appear, a judgment is likely going to be made against her for the debt. And at that point, once she has the judgment, then she may be able to get on a payment plan. She could try to have filed to have it vacated or removed, or she could file bankruptcy to have it discharged. But that would, of course, damage her credit. And then there's just the obligation part of this that I think, you know, she's made a commitment to repay it. So I think the best plan would be to show up and make her case to the court, trying for a payment plan that fits her budget as best as possible. And in the future, I think the key is, you know, let's not pay off medical bills with credit cards. But I realize that was a decision that she made. But the financial office of the medical provider in the future is far more likely to negotiate payments or a settlement than would be a credit card company. So you'd always rather be working directly with them instead of now she's working directly with the credit card company instead of the medical provider, which is just a little more challenging. So I think option one is find an attorney who could kind of advise her, and maybe you work with your church on that. But at the very least, be there in court for the hearing, be prepared to show in writing her financial situation, be able to demonstrate what she can pay moving forward toward this every month, and see if she can get on a payment plan where she's in compliance and working towards something that the court has agreed to, and ultimately paying this off, perhaps at a reduced amount. But hopefully she'll take your counsel and allow you to walk alongside her, and this will be a learning experience. God bless you, Mary. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. One. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit GiveShoesToday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's GiveShoesToday.org.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll talk about the upcoming elections and the state and local down-ballot candidates. We'll also get a pastor's perspective on keeping Christians and churches from backsliding.
If, as Christians, we believe in the Bible and we believe that God has spoken and the Bible is His Word, that gets to the issue. Do we believe it or not?
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
We're so glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal, our hope and prayer for you is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure as we explore God's word as it relates to money decisions. Let's head to my hometown, Fort Lauderdale. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much for your show. My question is whether or not my wife and I should sell our home. I'm in a position at work where I'll be moving about every 2 to 3 years, and housing will be provided.
Yeah. And I assume it's you're moving out of the area. Is that right?
Yes. It'll be overseas work.
Yeah. You know, it's not terribly easy to be a landlord. I'm not discouraging it. You can make a lot of money in real estate. It can be a great investment, but there's just challenges that come with it, especially with when you're a long distance landlord, unless you hire a management company to oversee the property, but that's going to cost you somewhere between 7% and 10% of the monthly rent often. So I think the question is first your financial readiness to keep this property. And what I mean by that is, you know, I know the place that's going to be moving you is providing housing, so that's great. But, you know, I think the first concern would just be, let's say, you know, things are great right now. South Florida real estate's doing well. But let's say, you know, 2 years from now, we're in a recession that's pretty deep. And let's say the housing market starts to turn down. We've already got some folks saying that, you know, maybe we have the inventories building to a point where we could see some pullback in the housing market. Let's say you don't have a renter for an extended period of time. Would that create any kind of financial hardship for you?
It could. My wife won't be working out, so we'll have one income when we start moving.
Yeah. Okay. And right now you have two incomes, and that's what's allowing you to keep all the bills paid?
Yes, and we also own another property, a commercial unit that we rent out, like a strip mall.
Okay. Mortgage. Yeah, and is and both of these would be mortgage, your current property that would become a rental and the commercial property?
Right.
Okay. And what's your debt to equity if you combine both properties plus the mortgages? What kind of equity do you have?
We have, let's see, we probably owe a little over 620, and they're worth about 1.5.
Okay. So you have pretty good equity. So that's a good thing, which means you shouldn't have trouble servicing the debt, assuming you can keep the commercial property occupied and you could keep the residential property rented. Obviously, it's been your primary residence, so it's a place you like, but do you foresee any issue keeping it rented?
No, we don't.
Okay. Okay. So I guess the next step is, number one, to decide, do we want to be a landlord? Obviously, you're already a landlord in the commercial property, but how do we feel about that now that we're going to be absentee? And do we need to put a management company in there? Then we need to run the numbers and just see if the economy weakens, kind of what kind of risk are you creating in both the commercial property, which commercial has its own challenges, just given some of the changing nature of our economy, on top of the residential property, and how many months could you weather without one or both of those being fully rented or leased? And just kind of determine what risk you're assuming. I think, you know, best case scenario, if you're at all concerned about being able to service the debt, even though you still have good equity, you still have $600,000 in mortgages, and you're going from two incomes to one. So I think you just need to be realistic about the potential, additional risk you're taking on by maintaining these properties with you not being here and dropping some significant portion of your total income with your wife leaving the workforce. And I think that will give you a better indication. The more conservative approach would be to say, okay, we're just going to go ahead and sell this property. We'll take the equity out of it and either invest it or pay down the mortgage on the commercial property and try to get to a place where you're debt free. And then, you know, maybe you're buying something when you come back and you decide to, not continue to move with your current company, or maybe you just put that money to work for you and invest it, but you do it in such a way that doesn't have any debt associated with it. And so you just have less risk involved, but you still have that money working for you. And now you have one less headache with regard to an additional property that needs to be serviced and maintenance dealt with and, you know, getting it rented out once somebody leaves and, you know, the repairs that have to be done, those kinds of things. But give me your sense of, you know, as you and your wife have talked about it, plus what I shared here today, what thoughts you have.
That makes sense. We weren't sure where to go. I think if I had to make a decision today, I'd probably sell it and pay down the mortgage on our commercial unit. But we just weren't sure. We also wanted to have someplace our own so that if anything happened with work, we weren't scrambling to find a home.
Yeah. Well, we certainly know we're at somewhat of the peak of the market there in South Florida. We know that South Florida real estate has been softening. It will probably continue to soften, especially if we get into a tighter economy with regard to a recession. So I don't think it's a bad idea for you to go ahead and take that money off the table right now. Go ahead and sell that property, get it working for you, or pay down that mortgage, which is just going to create more cash flow for you guys to be able to pile back into savings. And then you're not so highly concentrated in one asset class, namely real estate, and one asset class real estate that's concentrated in a market, South Florida, that's been red hot, but has challenges because, you know, we've got you know what's going on with homeowners insurance rates and property taxes, not to mention the fact that, you know, there's just been so much appreciation over a short period of time. So I think without knowing the full breadth of your situation, but just what I've heard today, I kind of like the idea of you all selling it, paying down that mortgage, building up cash, maybe investing systematically as you have more cash flow being thrown off of the commercial property, and then being ready to buy something perhaps in a softer real estate market 2 or 3 years down the road.
Perfect. Thanks again, Rob. Really appreciate you taking my call.
All right, James. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate your call today. Well, folks, we're going to a break coming up here in just around the corner. But first, let's stay in Lauderdale and quickly go to James. How can I help you? Ryan is where we're going next. I read that wrong. St. Petersburg. How can I help you, Ryan?
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Doing great.
I have to actually be very careful about what I say because I've signed an NDA, but okay. I've won $122,000 in a game show.
All right.
And I will be receiving that money in March. So I'm just kind of curious after, you know, California taxes, federal taxes, take their hand in it, what you think I should do investment-wise. I've been praying on it. I don't know if you believe if I should do a Merrill Lynch account. I was also wondering if I could have that money paid into my 401k, if that's a thing.
So I'm assuming I can't ask you what the game show was. Is that right?
You cannot, unfortunately, ask me. It is not aired yet.
Can we play a little game? And if I guess it, then you just say, yeah, you got it. Or I guess that would be out of bounds too, huh?
It might be out of bounds. I don't want to say too much and then not.
No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't want you to either. Have they already withheld the taxes at least 25%?
It will be withheld. I'm going to receive it in March of next year. So that's also my next question is, come tax time in 2025, I'm going to have made $200,000 and I'm going to have to pay, that's going to put me in a different tax bracket.
All right, very good. Well, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I'll give you my thoughts. By the way, congratulations. Stay right there. We'll talk on the other side. We'll be right back.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Before the break, we were talking to Ryan in St. Pete. He went out to California, won a game show. We're not allowed to know which one. He's signed a non-disclosure agreement. We absolutely want him to honor that. But he's wondering, what should I do with the money? How do I prepare for when I receive it, which is not even going to be this year? What do I do to prepare for the taxes that I will owe? And did you say, Ryan, you'll get that money in 2025? Is that right?
Yes, March of 2025.
Yeah. So the good news is that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act doesn't expire until the after 2025, unless it's continued. Taxes will be going up in 2026. A lot of that has to do with the outcome of the presidential election and a variety of other things. But the very highest tax bracket is 37%. But if you're married filing jointly, that's not until you get above $730,000. So you'll still likely be, a good bit lower than that. So typically what happens is they'll withhold 25% automatically and send it to the IRS, and then you'll just be responsible for anything over that. It would require, again, married filing jointly to get up above, the 24% bracket. The next one is 32%, but that doesn't kick in until $383,000 in income. So it may be that the 25% is all you'll pay, but it could go up to 32, 35, or 37, depending on your income. So you may want to just check with the CPA so you can go ahead and, of course, set aside anything else that you'll owe. Now, what do you do with the money? Well, anytime we have money, whether it's a bonus or an inheritance or game show winnings, we just kind of want to go back to our values and our priorities, look at our financial plan, and kind of walk through in order, starting with your emergency fund. Do you guys have any emergency savings set aside?
I'm single. I have about, you know, a month's worth of emergency set aside right now. I work full time and my rent is minimal. So I'm in a good situation. This will be disposable. And I also just like, I promised 50% right off the top before I even went to God. So 50% of that, I will be making charitable donations, which I was going to ask what that will help bring the taxes down.
Yeah, it absolutely will. And what I would probably do is just write that check to a charitable, a donor advised fund is what I'm thinking of. So unless you know where you want it to go right up front, the nice thing about the donor advised fund would be that, you know, you write the check, let's say, you know, $125,000, and you end up with, 25% or 75% of that, that would be 93. And then let's say you write a check for half. So you'd write a check for $46,000 or so right up front to your donor advised fund. You get the full value of that toward your, as a charitable deduction up to the limits, and you could then give it away over time. You wouldn't have to decide unless you knew right away where you wanted that money to go. Even though you get the current year tax deduction for the full $47,000, you may give it away over 2 or 3 years. And you would have that option. It would become a charitable checking account at that point. Now, it could only go out to a 501c3 like your church or another ministry, but you could decide when that takes place. You could do it anonymously or in your name. You'd have the choice. And I'd set that up at the National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com. But yeah, absolutely. That could offset, certainly a portion of, if not more than that, of the taxes that you'll eventually owe. And because you're a single filer, you may in fact be up in a higher bracket, because the 32% bracket runs from $191,000 in income up to about $243,000. Now, with the money you have left over after the taxes are paid, recognizing the deduction you'll get, and the money's into the donor advised fund, if you go that route, then I think for the rest, I would probably shore up a 6-month emergency fund, and then I would use that money and invest and, put it in some, perhaps, do you have a 401k at work at this point?
Yes, sir. I do have a 401k. I'm fully vested at this point. So,
okay. And are you putting anything in?
I am. Yes. Every check I'm putting in, they're matching me. So,
yeah, that's great. So maybe you take it and fund the Roth IRA, for next year. So you put in a full $7,000 or whatever the limit is going to be next year. And then beyond that, maybe you put that money to work with whatever's left and, put it in a good high quality, low cost mutual fund and just let it grow. But I think the nice thing is you could do a lot of giving, which is great. That'll reduce your tax burden, allow you to give to some causes that are really on your heart and hopefully on the heart of God. Second, shore up your emergency fund. Third, do some investing. And I think you'll be, you'll have a much more solid financial footing at that point moving forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I've truly been blessed. So I want to bless back.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations on that win. That's really exciting. I hope someday to figure out what it is you won. Maybe we'll see it on television. Hey, to set up that donor advised fund, I'd recommend you go to the National Christian Foundation, ncfgiving.com. They call it a giving fund. You can open it in a couple of minutes online, and then you'll just make the gift directly to your donor advised fund, and then you can make the gifts out of there once it's in there. Appreciate your call, Ryan. Again, congratulations. Thanks for being on the show. Let's go to Nashville. Hi, Ken. How can I help?
I got myself in a mess. We're about to lose our house, I think, with a big mortgage company, and they've been giving me advice on what to do, and they did me a forbearance, and now they're did a modification, which we couldn't afford. So now they're telling me just to wait till it's denied and apply for another modification. But I get letters saying I missed this program or that program because we waited too long. So I don't know if they're trying to get me to hold off until they can foreclose because we got a lot of equity. Or is there organizations that you can get to help you work with these mortgage companies?
Yeah. Well, man, I'm sorry to hear about this situation. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're doing all the right things. I'm sorry to hear that the modification isn't something that works with your budget. Ideally, you would, try to avoid it and get back, you know, into a modification that does, in fact, allow you to get current and make good on it. I think at this point, I mean, do you have any kind of counsel, legal counsel, somebody walking with you and helping you with the negotiations?
No, just the mortgage company.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it would hurt to reach out to an attorney who kind of specializes in these types of matters, who could, you know, maybe a bankruptcy attorney, not that I'm suggesting you go that route, but somebody who could advise you on trying to protect it. I mean, the bottom line is the mortgage company doesn't want to foreclose on you. I think the key would be getting into a modification that would allow you to get current on it. Is your situation improving, or has it changed at all such that you could get back on to a reasonable payment if they were to give you something lower than what you have today?
Not really. We're self-employed, and you know how this economy is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And it just dropped out. We were doing good before all of this, and then everything just, our business just went to nothing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I certainly understand that. And are you out seeking other employment at this point, or are you just full-time still trying to run the business, or what's the next step for you?
Still trying to run the business. Just because of my medical conditions, no one else will hire me. Of course, I can hire myself, and that's what I do. But no one else will hire me with my heart issues. And
yeah.
I said, I'm at an age where, you know, I'm going to be an old man without a home.
Yeah, I understand. Well, so a couple of things. I mean, one would be you could reach out to HUD, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. They have, housing counseling available nationwide. So you could go to HUD.gov, and just search for avoiding foreclosure. What you're going to see there is a phone number that you can call to get a HUD-approved housing counselor who could help you understand what your rights are, and just, you know, that would give you some free advice. Then obviously, you know, I would avoid any kind of foreclosure prevention companies because there are a lot of scams out there. But I think, you know, and then the next biggest thing is just to lean into your lender and just make sure that you are communicating with them, which it sounds like you have been. You all, you know, are both aligned in that they don't want this to go through the foreclosure process because of the costs involved, and you don't want to lose your home and the equity you have in it. So I think trying to work with the HUD-approved counseling agency, in combined with you just having really good, you know, open communication with your lender, opening and responding to all the mail for your lender. They'll send you good information on foreclosure prevention options that they have to legally. Make sure you know your mortgage rights. Those will be outlined in all the documentation that you're receiving. And then use the, you know, foreclosure prevention options that are found online. Again, these are all provided by HUD. They have some great articles there that you're going to want to look at and read up on, and take full advantage of the resources they have available. And then if it comes to it, you know, reaching out to an attorney who could represent you. But I think those are your next steps. I think doing everything you can to get your finances in a situation where you have the ability to do something, even if that means one of you going out and getting kind of a side job, something with some regular steady income that would allow you to save the home. Certainly you could do a short sale, but I think the key right now is for you guys to just do everything possible to get back on track with at least some version of the mortgage modified to something you can afford. I realize if the income is gone, that's not an option, and that's why we may need to look at what other income options do you have while you're maintaining some semblance of a business. So I'd reach out to HUD. I'd lean into your lender and continue to work with them despite the fact that you think maybe they've led you astray. At the end of the day, you have aligned interests, and that's making sure that this gets paid back in any way possible, even if it's not the way you originally agreed to. All the best to you, Ken. We'll certainly be praying for you, and we appreciate your call today. Big thanks to my team today, Adam, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being along with us on Faith and Finance. May God bless you, and we'll look forward to seeing you real soon. Thanks for being with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.